Ismail, lieutenant of the sinister Dimitri, has hidden in the Regent Suite in the Algerine Hotel to kill Frank Chandler. He is recognized by Bob and Betty, who believe he has made a mistake in the room. Chandler questions Ismail, but suspects nothing of Dimitri's presence near Algiers. Chandler forces Ismail to leave with him for the mountains, and Bob and Betty decide to send a wireless to Dimitri to let him know. When Dorothy thinks they have gone to bed, they slip quietly out of the room and down the stairs. The present act opens in a native cafe on the outskirts of the city.
Chandu, the magician.
Keep me here, dog of a Ferengi.
Until I have learned what I came to hear.
The curse of the prophet be upon you, that I cannot move nor break the black spell you have cast upon me.
Not so loud, Ismail. Someone will overhear it. I told you in the hotel I had greater powers than those given by the mere possession of a pistol. If you had been at your father's stronghold when I spoke with him, would know the name of Chandu.
Chandu! That is the name father cried out as he was... You have offered this insult to the proudest tribe in all Algeria.
Of your father's treachery to the French.
The French! Dogs that they are.
I tell you to keep your voice down. If you are recognized, your friends may wonder why it is you are without friends but to leave this table. Unless I give you permission.
There's no air in here. I cannot breathe. A mountain man must be under the stars.
It is stuffed in here. I grant you that. But we must stay a while, nevertheless. Someone will come to look for you. Have you thought of that?
How will he know where to look?
You've already thought of it then. That's what we're waiting for. I want to see who it is.
And when you have seen, what will you do?
I have a feeling I'll know more about who's behind this uprising of the tribe.
My father, Ben Youssef. I'm not ashamed to tell you.
No. You and your father are pawns in someone else's game. I know that. And when I find out whose game...
That you shall never know. The honor of the tribesmen is at stake. When once the tribes are roused, the French will be swept from our country like a plague of flies before a strong wind. These few hours, I am at your mercy, and the mercy of the black spell you have cast upon me. But soon, one will come who is not at your mercy, and when you have been killed, this spell will be broken. You, Chandu, who think you know the secrets of all men. Why, if I chose... I could tell you of a secret that would send you from these hills as if all the demons of the earth were at your heels. But I will not tell you. Chandu.
No.
I choose to go with you into the mountains. When you have released me from this spell which holds me powerless to lift a hand against you, I will kill you. No one will see you again.
Listen, Ismail. I'm going to tell you a little story while we wait for, shall we say, for whom we must await. I hope you'll listen carefully, Ismail. I think it may be a story you have heard before.
No, I want none of your stories. I want only to be free of you and to find my knife in your heart.
Nevertheless, you will do well to listen. This is the story. A long time ago, there lived in the mountains a powerful tribe whose horses were fleet, whose men were strong, whose honor was unquestioned. Did you ever know such a tribe?
No. It might be my own tribe of which you speak.
It might indeed, the tribe in this story. But listen further. When this tribe went out to battle, the men returned victorious because they were strong, and none could stand against them. And for many years it was so.
Why do you speak of this to me?
Perhaps it is but a story to while away the time that we must spend here in the cafe.
Mm.
Let me continue. After many years, a man came and whispered words of evil into the ear of the chief of the tribe. And after many days, the chief began to listen.
You said it was a story.
And so it is. Just a story that I have perhaps made up, like any storyteller, in such a cafe as this, to amuse you.
Then why do you speak of the man who came from over the sea?
Why not? He is part of the story. After he had whispered long in the ear of the mountain chief, the chief forgot his friends and listened only to this stranger, so that presently men came and took him away, where he could never see the blue sky or the bright stars again.
You are speaking of my father, Ben Yusuf.
Not so loud, Ismail. Who knows who might be listening? I tell you, this is only a story. And this is the way it goes on. It happened one night that two men such as you and I might be, Ismail, were seated in a small cafe. And as they sat, they heard the voice of a Bedouin singer.
You are casting more spells with your black magic. I tell you, I will not listen.
This is no spell, Ismail. See, the door is opening, and there stands the singer himself.
Oh.
He has journeyed many hundreds of miles. He is weary, but the song in his heart is never tired.
Oh, it is like those pictures on my father's wall. I think I see the Bedouin, but...
You see him indeed. And so do all these other men. Listen. They are waiting for his song.
I will not.
I tell you, you will listen. It will perhaps be only a love song from the desert.
Sun on a hot beneath a desert sun. Desert skies ablazing with blue fire. As swift before the desert wind I ride to you. On wings of my desire. Beside the still oasis where you dwell, twilight will bring my caravan to rest. My desert pride, my desert flower of love, shall live forever on my breast. Sands are cool beneath the desert moon. Shine with silver fire, and sit before the desert wind I ride to you on wings of my desire.
Beautiful, wasn't it?
What are you doing?
I... Surely you don't think I pretend to say who shall sing in the cafe?
But he is coming here. No, it is more of your magic.
My dear Ismail, who knows what is real and what is unreal? Surely this man you see before us is as real as you or I. He may have business with us.
Thou hast summoned me, Chandu.
I said it was more of your demon magic.
Welcome to Algiers. Join us, won't you? Let's have coffee together. How many years since we sat at table?
Years sit lightly upon thy head, Chandu.
And upon yours. What business brings you here? Ah, I'm forgetting. Ismail, son of Ben Yusuf. I present the Bedouin, Antar.
Antar!
Allah be with thee, Ismail, son of Ben Yusuf.
And with thee.
Come, Ismail. We must make our guest welcome. Coffee for three. Your voice is as fine as ever, Antar.
The praise of Chandu falls upon the ear of Antar, like water in the thirsty sand.
Is this he who was to come from over the sea?
No. That was but a story.
As I passed through the street of the Kasbah, I heard stories that Ben Yusuf had been condemned to die.
Condemned to die?
Thou hast spoken.
Oh!
It was said the crime was treachery. But thou, his son, wouldst not sit here idle if it were true, I know.
No, Chandu, by the tomb of Muhammad, Thou art thrice accursed. I would I might...
Ismail, stop.
I tell you
I'll... Stop, I say. I was relating to Ismail's story of a certain desert chief who listened to the words of a stranger and was lost.
I know this story well. I have told it often in the marketplaces and in the camps of my people in the desert.
Is it then a story? Truly a story? And not the tale of my father to torture me?
What could it be but a story?
Tell me the name of the man in the story who came from over the sea.
Antar, since you know the story, perhaps you will tell him the name.
If this story is indeed the same, I know his name well. And on this paper, I will write it.
And then, Ismail, you shall read the name aloud.
Here is the paper. And now, I shall write the name.
Read it, Ismail. Look at the paper.
Chandu, I call upon the prophet to curse you and all your line forever.
Look, read it. Read it and tell me what you see.
No, no, you could not know. I tell you, I will not read it.